Today I want to talk about hope in a broken world. It's a big subject. I thought as I was working on this, it was going to take an hour to get through it, but I cut it down to 45 minutes, so we should be fine. You don't need me to tell you there's a lot of stress and anxiety right now. It seems to be predominant in our culture. People are tense, frustrated. I think people are angry. They don't realize they're angry or how stressed they may be. It seems like we're in a season of short fuses, and I see it about everywhere I go. Kim and I, go to Colorado in July, and we were on our way up to Colorado, and that drive from Salina to Denver is the killer part. It's 433 miles, and it feels like we're going to land in the ocean by the time we get there. But it's a long, long old drive. Well, we get up and where we're coming out of Denver, heading up the mountain on I-70, and about a mile away from the Eisenhower Tunnel, the big old pickup behind me, I guess I wasn't going fast enough, which is very rare that anybody would think that. But I was not going fast enough, and he gets right up on me, and I was terrified. I've never been in that situation where there was nowhere to go, I couldn't get over, but he was mad, and he was right on me, flashing his lights at me, And then I couldn't get over because then we get into the Eisenhower Tunnel, and he kept it up. I mean, I was absolutely terrified. And it was kind of good for Kim to see that I'm not the worst driver that she thinks, It was a good example that there are worse. So we finally get out of the tunnel. I finally get over, but he's not done. He decides to get in front of me and hit his brakes and teach. I don't know what lesson he wanted to teach me. And there for a while, and it wasn't that long ago, a guy was shot on I-70 up there in one of these road rage incidents. So we were a little bit troubled for a moment. But thankfully, he got off at his exit, and we kept right on going. But it was a pretty frightening thing. And that drive is monotonous. Literally, you get to Salina, you turn left for 435 miles, and you just do this. I think there's one or two places you might have to turn, but by and large, it's straight into Denver. And so it was really tiring going up, so we thought we've got to make this drive a little better going back. It's hard to leave Colorado. So we decided, let's listen to comedy. Let's see these great comedians, they're believers, these great, funny comedians. So let's just find them. Kim would find them on the phone. We'd Bluetooth them through the car. And we laughed our heads off for 7 hours. That drive went like that. Now, I mean, there's a lot of really good ones, too. Surely you've heard of some of these. Leanne Morgan. I mean, Leanne, she's in East Tennessee, about where I was born, and you can hear it in her slang and her twang. She's the only person I know that takes one-syllable words and turns them into two. She's a king. Every word's a two-syllable word. She said, I got sick, not sick, sick, so I took to the bed. Took to the bed. I hadn't heard that one in a long time. She's hilarious. Then there's John Chris, Nate Berga, I think it's Bergazzi, and Tim Hawkins. We've had Tim Hawkins here before. Now, Tim does this thing. Some of you have seen this. If you haven't seen it, Google Tim Hawkins, and you can see it. He does a better job than I'm going to do. But he does the funniest thing. I mean, I was losing in the car about raising hands in church. Oh, yeah. Somebody's already with me. I don't know if I can get it right or not. But here's the progression. So if you don't raise your hands in church and you want to, here's the way to start. All right, hands in your pocket and elbows moving. Then from there, once you start doing this and it's okay and you find out people around you aren't gonna be bothered by it, then you go here. You go right here. Carry the TV right here. And then go big screen. You get your arms out here. And then you go, fish was this big. So you're getting up there a little higher every time. Hold my baby arms out. Hold my baby. There we go, right there. Then from there we go to light bulbs. Eyes closed, changing the light bulbs. That's the next step. And then really the next one is just like touchdown, You do this. You just stand there and do this, and you've got your hands up. Now they're up about as high as they're going to go. And then give the Lord a high five, you know, high five kind of thing. You know, do that high five kind of thing. And then you go from there to wash the windows. Okay, there it is. Do Google him, you'll find his descriptions are killer. They're just great, you know. And so that's, we listen, and I had to listen to that several times. It just is so funny, I wanted to hear it again. So we needed some lighthearted laughter on our way home from Colorado, and we've stopped watching for the most part these days. I'm not listening to the news anymore. Sometimes it's hard to know if you're hearing important news or someone's view. There are some credible news out there for sure. Many of our major news outlets give you 10% news, 90% opinion about the news, and I don't need that either. So I find giving a dose, sometimes it gives me a dose of hopelessness that when you really truly realize we are in trouble, we've got some serious problems in our country. I'm not downplaying that for a minute. And sometimes I wish I knew what happened. What happened to the country I grew up in? It's changed a lot. It's still the best one on the planet. Let me just keep that out in front of you. It is still the best place to live on planet Earth. Yeah. I mean, Switzerland isn't bad, I wouldn't think, but I think this is still the best. So I think there's just so much frustration in the news and in the country right now. And people don't even realize how anxious they've become, fearful at times we've become because of what's going on. It occurred to me that we're acting at times as if we're hopeless or the situation is hopeless. I think it's a fundamental question of life. Is there hope? Is life worth living? You know, the suicide rate has never been as high as it is now. In 2022, a record number of over 49,000 people died by suicide, the highest level since 1941. That's tragic. People feel hopeless. Young people feel hopeless. Many people are asking the fundamental question, is there hope? Is life worth living? What can I count on? What can I depend on? On what truth is true north? What's the anchor that will keep me where I need to be, that keeps me still in the storms? Those are our questions these days. When listening to a doctor explain that a loved one has cancer, and we ask, is there hope? How long does he have? What's the outlook? We lost one of my closest friends, Kim and I, and this week, 5 months from diagnosis, pancreatic cancer. When a spouse sends all the signals of their love diminishing, the marriage seems to be failing, we ask, is there hope for this marriage? When financial realities catch up with us and bankruptcy seems certain, we ask, is there hope for my future? How can I live moving forward? I'm broke. When we struggle with certain sins or addictions, when we realize that we're on a path of destruction, we wonder, is there hope? And if there is, where can I find it? Where can I find it? It's been said we can go 40 days without food, 3 days without water, 8 minutes without air, but you won't last long without hope. Hope is one of the essentials of life. We need hope to cope. Romans 15:13 reminds us, may God, the source of hope, we stop right there. That says it all right there. If you hear anything, hear that, remember this. God, the source of hope. May God, the source of hope, fill you with joy and peace through your faith in him, then you'll overflow with hope. Through your faith in him, you will overflow with hope. With hope. The psalmist said in chapter 52, Psalm 52, verse 9, in your name, I will hope. In your name, Father God, I will hope, for your name is good. So what is hope? Let's define it. Hope is a defining quality of who God is. Hope is the condition of God's heart. It is not possible to be close to God and yet have no hope. Hang on to that one. It's not possible to be close to God and have no hope. God's hope fills us with joy and peace. Then I would add to that, in the worst of circumstances. That's what God does for us, if we'll let him. Another definition. In the Bible, hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised, and its strength is in his faithfulness. So we can have hope. Now, there are several places that we look for hope. I'm going to mention three, and maybe a fourth one if there's time. But there's three things. This first one's going to just jolt you. You all been waiting for me to talk about politics. And so here it goes. It's going to be brief. It's going to be more than just the word vote. You know, that's what I typically do. I'm going to talk about politics. Vote. And I mean that sincerely. We need to vote. But it's kind of dominating our thinking these days. We're acting as if the only hope we have is in the next election. Granted, there's a lot on the line, clearly. I'm not downplaying or underestimating the seriousness of where we are as a country right now. Never dreamed I'd see anything like it in my lifetime. But we have to remember something. Whether it's politics, power, possessions, I could have gone on people. There's all kinds of things that we look for some hope, or where now we feel rather hopeless. And it's a dangerous moment if we're not careful for the believer. And it seems like believers these days have pulled politics into the church, and they're not lifting up Jesus, they're lifting up their political preferences. And that's in the pulpits in our country. It shouldn't be. That's not why we gather here. Politics, power, possessions, and there's more words. You can make your list. It's a lengthy list. We must remember this. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." So why are we living as people that have no hope? Whichever way the election goes, we still have hope. Nothing changes for the child of God. They tried to get Jesus to say something that could be reported to the Roman governor so he would arrest Jesus. What I'm trying to say, you go back to the days of Christ, just kind of start there for a while, move on forward through the scriptures, you'll find out we got it pretty good still. You know, when Jesus was born and Herod was so furious and angry that there could be someone showing him up, someone apparently that they're saying it's God, the Messiah. Surely if you've read it, you know what happened. He ordered that every baby boy, 2 years of age and under, be killed. That was their culture at the time. And then they're always trying to get Jesus to say something that they can kind of snag him and catch him saying something that they can point to a law that he's broken so they could arrest him. Jesus would later then say, when they were talking about money, he said, "You give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. Pay your taxes and give God what belongs to God," in other words. So he's in the midst of a terrible culture. Really, if you look around the world, in fact, I still believe, if we take a look around the world, visit the news of the various countries, I still believe we will come away from that experience still knowing this is the best country to still be a part of. But we have to think this through because we're letting politics get in the way of our joy and getting in the way of our hope. Bill and Gloria Gaither wrote a great song many years ago, and there's a line in it I just love. It says, "But for the child of God, things are going to get better either way." I love that phrase. The earth will do what the earth is going to do. We'll do our best while we're here. But for the child of God, things are going to get better either way. And that's a true statement. So the problem we're having is so many followers are just, right now, their hope is in politics. I hope the political system will improve. I hope things go better. I hope we can get back to at least some common sense. My greatest concern at this point is what kind of future do we want as Americans for our country? But the ultimate hope is in Jesus Christ. And it's never been more important for us to exalt him and praise him and lift him as high as we can. Christians these days seem to be demanding that the world see things their way. You do understand that when one church is doing something silly in the media or embarrassing Christians, I get embarrassed a lot by what other Christians and pastors are doing on their TV platforms in particular. I feel embarrassed. But you know what? The culture thinks we're all like that. That's the assumption. That's why I want to be sure that we'll be known by the one we love. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the solution to everything. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to many and foolishness to the Gentiles. That's what Paul said in Corinthians. There's nothing new really these days, yet we think we've got it so bad. Take a look at how things were again in the times of Christ. His birth, throughout his life, his crucifixion, and on it went. Religious leaders were constantly trying to get something on him so they could eliminate him. But Jesus constantly said, again I'll say it, my kingdom is not of this world. We preach Christ crucified. We won't find hope anyplace else. It'll be temporary at best if you find it somewhere else. Politics is dividing us. It's making us feel hopeless at times. Power. We want power. We think if we have power, we'll have more hope. You won't. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, Paul says, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would not trust in human wisdom, but the power of God. We must remember, if we remember anything, we must remember why we exist as Crossings Community Church in this community and beyond. It is in not our wisdom, but it's in the power of God. We will not be trusting in human wisdom. God will speak to us. He'll nudge us. He'll give us a sense of direction. He'll challenge us. He may put things in front of us, and it's happening all the time, where we have a chance to say yes or no, and we're not sure. Which one should we, what do we do here? And it's a privilege to get to have those conversations. We're having more and more of them, it seems like. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches. Imagine this, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. Imagine that. What if we all relied on the power of the Holy Spirit? I did this so you wouldn't trust in human wisdom, but the power of God. We tend to think if we had more power, more control, more money, life would be better. We will not find hope in our own power or frankly any other human being's power. We'll not find wisdom in power. We'll find wisdom in the power of God. So there's politics, there's power. Another one that I think kind of grabs us is possessions. What we have. I think sometimes we realize possessions own us instead of us owning them. Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. That's harsh. But it's true. Do not love the world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. You could put that statement in a newspaper, take the verse off, so nobody would believe this is a statement that was written centuries ago. Because it fits us today. It makes perfect sense today. Be careful what we love. Be careful what we have to have. Be careful how we hold so tight on the possessions. With my mom in memory care place, we're constantly kind of going through some boxes. It's just all the stuff. She had a beautiful home in Ohio, came to Oklahoma City, and yet all this beautiful stuff, whether it was china or knickknacks or things that she treasured, they're in my garage. They're in my garage, and really I should give them away, but it's my mom's. I'm not there yet. I'll get there. Sometimes it's good for me when I pull in the garage. I told you one thing that's in my garage, the front of the wall, is the 2,000 of my best-selling book. Truly, it does. I haven't put a hole in the sheetrock since I stacked those books right there. But the other one is mom stuff. It's right there. Kind of get a reminder every day. It's been a good reminder for me to realize, you know, the stuff we have, the stuff we accumulate, it's nice, it's fun, it's okay. But the minute that stuff starts owning us, and the minute we think we need more, so we may ought to get on our knees and think very clearly. And remember, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and our possessions. We need to be aware of this. We need to be careful of this. Hebrews 6. Therefore, we who have fled to him, to God, therefore we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Here's the great thing about the hope we're talking about. It's permanent hope. It's lasting hope. It's hope that works. It works every day. It speaks to us constantly if we keep our focus where it belongs, and that is on Jesus himself, who is the source of hope. He is our source of hope. Do you believe that? Is Jesus the anchor, or is he a political leader? Who's your anchor? What are you trusting? What are you hoping for? I think of Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him and who've been called according to his purpose. Been called according to his purpose. Now, that verse doesn't say that all things are going to work out the way I want them to. It doesn't say that all things are going to end satisfactorily or happy here on earth. It doesn't say that every patient will get well, that not every couple gets married will stay married. Reality teaches us that not every business decision makes $1 million. Not every problem is resolved. So we know that God causes all things to work together for good. We learn from our worst mistakes. And hopefully we learn to quit making them. But we learn. God allows us to learn. We know that what God is promising us is not a wish or desire. It's not the conviction that something might turn out well, but hope is the certainty that something makes sense regardless of how it turns out. Hope is certainty that something makes sense regardless of how it turns out. We know, not hope or imagine, we know. What do we know? That God causes all things to work out good. Even the worst of days, the worst of times, the worst hurt you've ever felt, God is our Father who loves us and will walk with us through those dark storms of life. And that's worth more than anything we could ever possess or own. 1 Peter 1:3 says this. Let me go to Lamentations first. I have hope when I think of this. The Lord's love never ends. That's what I just said. The Lord's love never ends. His mercies never stop. They're new every morning. Every morning they're new. Every day they're new. So we can have hope when we think of that, that his love never ends. You cannot stop loving him when you know him and how much he loves you. 1 Peter 1:3. In God's great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That's our theology right there. If you don't believe that, if we don't believe that, we are truly wasting time. It is a hopeless religious experience. Now, I know for sure that's not our case. That's not our situation, because we know in God's great mercy, he has caused us to be born again, have a new life, a new way of thinking, a new way of acting, a new way of loving, a new way of spending, a new way of giving. He's caused us to be born again into a living hope, permanent living hope, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 says this, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to believers who have died. As sad as it is, as hard as it is to let go, and it is, he says, you will not grieve like people who have no hope. We'll grieve, but we grieve with hope. Lost a great friend this week, cancer, 5 months from the day of his diagnosis. I'm not happy about it." Really? To me, he was a young guy, 70. I think that's still pretty young. Too young to die. But even as I was planning this message and working through this message, even weeks ago, that sermon, my sermon became my sermon this week. Because I had to remember, do I believe this? That what happens to believers who have died, we want you to know, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. That's why we can call our, what we typically call funerals, we can call memorial services, whatever you call, we can call those moments celebrations. A celebration of the hope we have in what Jesus Christ has done in the past, is doing now, and will continue to do in the future. 1 Peter 1:6. "So be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine." Do you ever think about that? Those tough days, those tough times, the trials. "They'll show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring very much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." So let's not put our hope in things that are temporary, not in power, not in our possessions, not in other people, in God. Chuck Swindoll is a pastor that I've listened to for years. And I've always enjoyed him. He's still preaching his church down in the Dallas, North Dallas area. And he's written many, many books, and I probably have most all of them. And he may now be up toward 90 years old, but I still find this guy simply preaching the relevance of the Bible. And he said this, "When life hurts and dreams fade, nothing helps like hope. Webster's dictionary defines hope as desire accompanied by expectation or belief in fulfillment. To desire with expectation of attainment. To expect with confidence. Hope isn't merely a nice option that helps us temporarily clear a hurdle. No, no, no. It is essential to our survival. And I think one of the best gifts we could give to our world, to our culture these days, is to be people of hope. We are loved with an everlasting love. He has already forgiven sins we didn't know we'd even know how to commit. And all those things in our life that we're ashamed of, he took them on himself. He became that sacrificial lamb, the last sacrifice needed. He paid it all. He took that for us. And the more you realize that, and the more we read about it, the more we think about it, the more we pray about it, you know what? You stay encouraged longer. We need to quit expecting heaven on earth. And we need to be ready for the moment we have the privilege of taking that last breath here and opening our eyes with Jesus. Doesn't matter what the world can do to me or tries to do to me or you. We have hope, folks. We have hope. And it's a hope that is permanent and it cannot be shaken. It is hope. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. It's a great statement. So I guess we have to think a minute. Where are you looking for hope? What hope is disappointing you right now? Remember, Jesus said, I don't like this statement, but it's Jesus and it's in the Bible and I believe it. And it helps my attitude, hope it helps yours. In this world, you will have trials of many kinds. But take heart, he says, I've overcome the world. I've got it covered. May God, the source of all hope, fill you with joy and peace through your faith in him, then you'll overflow with hope. We're going to take a few minutes and spend some time in prayer. We wrote three things down we thought might be helpful to you. We'll just take a couple of minutes before we leave our various rooms. Every room we're joining in this prayer time right now. A few minutes. And you can pray about anything that's crossed your mind. It may not be one of these. This would be a good time to talk to God for a moment about the things that are on your mind. Or maybe ask him to help you trust him more, to be more confident in who he is, to find hope in him instead of other things. So let's pray that God will let, that you will let God be your source of hope. Secondly, are you looking for hope in other places? Ask God for strength to trust him. Put Jesus at the center of your life. If you've never made it clear, if you've never taken a step, a stand, to say, I will be a follower of Jesus, this is a good moment to do it. Get clear about it. He's the hope giver. He's the forgiver. Put Jesus at the center of your life. Find your hope in him. So whatever's stirring in your heart and mind and soul right now, let's take a few minutes and pray whatever might be on your mind. We'd invite our prayer teams down to the front of the rooms. In all rooms, there'll be prayer teams, pastors, men and women who are ready to pray for you, pray with you. This may be the day you want someone to pray you through what it looks like to say, okay, I'm following Jesus. I'm gonna put my hope in him. This may be a day when you are carrying a burden so heavy you can't imagine getting through it. And you're not feeling much hope lately, let us pray for you. We're on this together. We'd love to pray with you and pray for you about anything on your mind, whether it has anything to do with the message today or not. We'd love to pray with you. Father, we're thankful for the time we've gathered here. We're thankful for the freedom we have to gather. Father, we're thankful for the freedom we have in Christ. And may we keep Jesus Christ at the center of our lives, the center of our families, the center of our churches. May we lift him up. As he has said, he will draw others to himself if we will simply lift him up in our lives, in our daily work, in our homes. Father, may we be people fully surrendered to be your light in this community, in our church, and wherever we are. May we be a person that will give hope. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.